Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, so I'm going to do the intro.
Okay.
Matt and I will BS for a minute, and then I'll bring you in.
All right, cool. Do I need these on?
I would put them on just for the intro, so you can kind of hear where we're at.
Cool.
Got to take that Stetson off, huh?
Oh. Now my voice goes down when I take it off.
No. Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the Tens. Starring the Tens. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. The podcast starts. You better wear a helmet now.
Woo! The podcast, episode 285. What's up? It's your boy, the Ted Smith. I'll be hosting this here podcast. Greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
To the left of me, actually, he's to the right of me. Actually, he's not even here. He's on, we'll say, holiday somewhere. I don't know if he wants us giving out the exact location, but Cobb is not here right now. And yeah, so we're not going to get a hold of him. But don't worry, Matt and I are holding it down. Speaking of Matt, back there on the wheels of steel, getting the studio all set up. Matt Comer, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Ted.
How you doing, man?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Stoked. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, we got a guest in tonight, but you know, it's always fun when Matt and I are just running the roost here for a little bit. Also, we got everybody getting through the snow and everything. It really didn't snow that much downtown. It's just been cold. But I know other people are dealing with some problems. Seems like if you live in right above Issaquah, it gets a little sketchy there.
Oh, up on the plateau?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'd believe that. Yeah. Actually, I saw some pictures. I mean, I used to live there. Like,
yeah, I was going to say.
But I didn't see a ton of Facebook. Most of my feed's pretty dominated by Seattle, I realized.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Yeah.
I just had to look up, somebody posted something, and I was like, Preston? Where the heck is Preston?
Oh, that's out by Fall City.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's even further back there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That dude had a lot of snow going on there.
Okay.
Believe All right, it. So this week, our guest is a friend of Matt's, a friend of mine, friend of the show's now, Jeremy Schultz. Now, Jeremy, you've been in a bunch of local bands that people would know in the Seattle area. And we'll get to that. But more importantly, Sunday we were watching the Seahawks game, and just kind of nonchalantly, you're like, yeah, I walked across the country. So, Jeremy, give us a little bit of the backstory. Explain to people, just start with, where you walked from and where you walked to.
Yo, right on. Thanks, man. Yes, April 22nd of 2019, I walked off the Brooklyn Bridge. And I walked for 178 days, which, you know, just 2 days shy of 6 months. And I walked all the way to the Sundial Bridge in Redding, California, which came out to be, that specific route came out to be 3,100 miles. And I did that. I did it virtually unassisted, which means it was, I had no support vehicles or anything. I did it unassisted all the way up until I got to Nevada. I had gotten hurt, and then the only assistance I had is I had a guy that followed me in a van that just carried my water. But all the way up until there, it was completely unassisted, 3,100 miles.
That's wild. What would it have been if you had done it direct? Because I know you kind of tried to see some things. Like, would it have saved you miles to do it direct?
Yeah. Yeah, it probably would have been straight across would have been maybe 26, 2700 miles.
All right.
Like that, yeah. And yeah, then, maybe less.
I know people are thinking, trust me, me and Jeremy had this conversation. The first thing I asked him was like, how did you do this travel? Is this like, because you can't, it's illegal to walk on highways, correct?
Yeah.
Or like interstates?
Yep, but I did.
I would think there's certain parts you wouldn't have a choice.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, and every time the cops come and you tell them what you're doing, and they, for the most part, they were really cool. They stopped. I had a handful of them stop, and like in Oklahoma, that I was all over the news there. The foundation I was doing this for is out of Oklahoma, so the cops would stop and they would take pictures of me, and they would bring come by and bring sandwiches and Gatorade because it was like 110 when I was walking through Oklahoma, but. To answer your question, I would be, when I walked off that bridge, I didn't have a route, okay? And I had a buddy that came with me for like the first couple of weeks, because he wanted, he likes to do really epic shit. So he was like, yo, I'm going to come with you. And I said, I was like, well, I'm not leaving New York until I go see Niagara Falls. So I thought that'd be cool to walk up Niagara Falls first. It's only 700 miles out of the way. So
yeah, only 700.
Yeah. Yeah. So
most people wouldn't do that in a car. I like that you're doing this on foot. I got an extra 700 in me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, I'm thinking right now, if I was on a road trip and Matt was like, yo, pick me up. It's 700 miles away. I'd be like, you need to rent a car.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Yeah. It was, man, that I'm really glad that I did it because that actually wasn't too hard. Well, parts of it was really hard, but by the time I got up to Niagara Falls, I'm in the process of writing this book right now, and just a few days ago, I was writing this chapter about all about belief, I was running on hope when I started. I hoped that I could. By the time I made it to Niagara Falls, I really believed. I said I was like, I'm gonna finish this. Because that was my confidence builder. Okay, so I took this thing when I got all the way up to almost just south of Rochester. There's this 250 mile stretch. It's called the Erie Canal Way Trail. And all right. So it just follows the Erie Canal Way, and it's, oh man, and it's like super epic. Getting up there though, I fell off a 40-foot cliff, and and it was, I almost died like three times getting there because you had to go over the Pocono Mountains and shit. But it was, or the Catskills rather in that part. But yeah, it was awesome.
What's your organization again? You're doing the walk for?
So I decided, Through my company, every year I pick a cause to raise money for, and last year I decided I was going to raise it for Fight for the Forgotten, which is Justin Wren. What's up, brother? If you're listening to this, it's Justin Wren, also known as the Big Pygmy, professional UFC fighter. It's his organization, and the Fight for the Forgotten. They provide fresh water wells for the pygmies in the Congo, but they recently had expanded, and he decided that he was going to turn it into fighting for bullying for everybody. So he had this initiative to start a bullying, an anti-bullying campaign across the U.S. And so I was one of the first people to jump on and raise money for that, to speak at schools and give kids the tools of how not to bully and then what to do if they are bullied and stuff. And he was handing out free MMA classes and all this stuff.
Yeah, help him out.
Yeah. So it was a great. I was hoping I was going to raise more, but it wasn't from a lack of trying, I'll tell you that, you know. But I ended up raising $5,000, so I feel pretty good about that.
All right. If people wanted to donate or give money to it, where would they go?
Well, they could get on my website, Beats from the Core, and just there's a donate button on there. They could find out like that. The GoFundMe is still up, so they could go to beatsforacause/ GoFundMe, Walk Across America.
All right.
It's Beats from the Core on Instagram, too.
Yeah, Beats from the Core, and then they just hit that, you know, the link on there, and they'll find it. It's easy.
All right, good. Yeah, well, I'll make sure you could still raise money, but that's great. You did $5,000 to begin with.
Yeah, man. Yeah, you know, it's like...
It's also somewhat... Like, I like that it was for bullying. I feel like there would have been some sick irony in you walking across the country dying of thirst trying to raise money for wells.
right.
I'd be like, wait a minute, that's kind of weird.
Right, yeah.
Right? Like, this guy really needs water.
Yeah, totally, you know. And you know, it puts it into a perspective, man. Like, how fortunate are we, you know, that we could go across America and have access at almost any point of, you know, clean drinking water, and there's people that have lived their entire lives that have never had one sip of clean water. I think
between that and then doing what you did walking across the country, those are two things I think, especially as Americans, we just take for granted all the time. It's number one is that you have water at your disposal. And I know some people are like, well, I don't drink tap water. Like, it's all drinkable water.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And then number two is you forget how much your feet matter to you until they're in pain.
Exactly. Yes. And so I have actually been off the walk since I arrived at the Sundial Bridge in Reading. I arrived there October 19th. And my feet are still... Can I say fucked on the show?
Yeah, I'm out of bleep it out.
Yeah.
Just don't go crazy. Or I'll have to be here all night.
Okay, then I won't say it. But my feet are still FUBAR'd.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you know, because dude, like I carried between 42 and 52 pound pack. When I was loaded up with water, it was 52 pounds, right?
All right.
So it was like, you know, walking. And like I said, this wasn't the PCT or something like that. So I was walking on pavement the entire time, which was brutal, dude.
Plus you're going through Oklahoma so stuff in the dead of summer.
Oh man!
Like just the, you know what, the hottest part.
By the time I got to Oklahoma, dude, I was psyched because, dude, Missouri, walking through Missouri in the dead of summer. Oh my God!
Really,
dude? Oh, that was brutal. Yeah, dude, that was.
What was the hardest state?
Brutal. Well,
because my buddies that did the trip on the scooters, right?
Yeah.
How can I not think of the name of the trip right now?
The slow ride home?
Slow ride home. Thank you. Like, they always talk about how Georgia was just brutal because it was just so hot and they all came out like blistered and sunburned.
Yeah.
So I know whenever you do these trips, like, there has to be a state that stands out. Just like, man, that was bad.
Oh, man. Well,
excuse me. Having a soda water.
Yeah, you know. all the states stand out for different reasons. But as far as brutal, I would say, so Missouri was gnarly because, you know, there were points where, there were so many bugs. So it was hot, freaking humid.
Humid humidity.
So, like I could remember at a point, you know, walking for like, you know, three, four days at a time and just, I mean, being soaked to the bone, not one second that it was dry because it was just... like, you know, just soaked. And your feet are all pruny and blistering and everything. And then I go and I set my tent up out in this field. My tent had a rip in it. So now my tent is filled up with 3 inches of water, and there's bugs coming in. And so the only way is to not get myself, you know, eaten by all of the bugs, I had to wrap myself up in my 0 degree in my 0 degree mummy bag.
So now you're just sitting in the bag sweating?
Sweating, yeah, dude. And it's just, and you're already wet because like the sleeping bag already has water in it, dude. And it's like, oh, and still any like sort of hotel or anything is another 3 or 4 days away. So you're miserable now. And then it's just going to get worse until you make it to the hotel. It's brutal.
Yeah, because I mean, I don't think people realize like the bulk of our country is not filled up.
Yeah, that people don't realize that, you know, because we're like, oh, you know, it was really nice. I had a million wonderful supporters. There was people that were donating to me directly just right through my Cash App. And, you know, people would be like, hey, you know, here's this for a hotel. And that was really nice. But a lot of times I would have to walk for a week before I'd see a hotel.
That's
right?
Wild.
Right? You know? And so it was like, you know, you know, it's like you leave Pennsylvania, you know, so it's like my route, I walked off the Brooklyn Bridge, went up to Niagara Falls, scaled Lake Erie, came down through Erie, Pennsylvania, into Ohio. Then I started going due west, right on the 40, and I went into Indiana, and then I got halfway through Indiana, Mississippi flooded out, so I had to start going south because I couldn't cross up there because I was just going to go straight across at that point. But then I started going south, and I went down into southern Illinois. It's just raining, and that's when so the southern part of Indiana going into Illinois. Remember that story that I told you about? That's when I got caught in that flood.
We're talking to Jeremy Schultz, by the way, about walking across America by himself.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Solo.
Great sentence.
Yeah. And
yeah, right.
Yeah.
I mean, for anybody listening to this, like, I'm telling you, man, like literally this is how the weekend went. Hey, Matt, I'm going to make some turkey chili for the game. Then he goes, did you tell anybody else? He said, no, it's just us right now. Can I bring my buddy Jeremy? Of course. Jeremy shows up, so that this was the first hour of the game, just me peppering him with questions.
Yeah.
All right. So tell them the story. You get there, and you're gonna set up your tent, not in the camping area.
Right.
Right. Because the woman had great advice for you.
Well, yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah. Yeah. So this is a pretty epic story. Let me start actually 24 hours before this. I had been walking. I was on like maybe my fourth day of, you know, of no campsites or no nothing. I came into this place in Indiana, and you could like visit these caves, and they had these campsites there. So I visited the caves, and I set up my camp, my tent, and I was really stoked because it was you know a place for me to relax. It was like a real campground, right?
Right.
So a storm came in that night, and bro, it was getting bad. It was just coming down about 3 o'clock in the morning. So I was set up right next to this gigantic tree, huge. And all of a sudden, lightning struck that tree. And it was like, I mean, right next to my head. And I jumped out of my tent, and that tree fell, thank God, the opposite direction. Falls that opposite direction. So there was light. I was watching lightning, you know, strike. I know lightning starts at the ground, but it looks like it's, you know, striking out of the ground in front of me two more times. So I ran underneath of a shelter. All of that stuff floods. I sit underneath of the shelter until the sun comes up, and I was scared. I'm like, I'm out of here. So
is it still storming now in the morning time?
More just like a Seattle rain, right?
Okay. You know,
so just kind of drizzly. So at that point, I go and I break down my tent, get everything in my backpack, and I'm shooken up. And I'm like, and I look on my phone, and the next campground is about 28, 29 miles away. So I was like, good, that's a short one. I'll just walk there, right? You know.
Do you average in a day at this point?
How many miles? About average, right? You know, so that was going to be kind of a long day, right? But I had to get there because there was another storm coming in,
right?
So I was shook up. So I arrive at the new campsite, And I told the lady what had happened. I was like, man, you know, I almost died. I was, you know, the thunderstorm came in and she was like, oh, that is horrible. She's like, yeah, last night was bad. So I said, I want to buy a campsite. And so the way that it was set up was her property was they had these three tiers, and the first two were like RVs, and then down below next to the river was where all the tent sites were. So she said, you know, here, she told me that, and I said, well, I'm apprehensive of setting up next to the river because is it going to flood? She's like, no, guarantee. She's like, I've been here for 40 years.
40 years?
Yeah. She said, you're like 40 or 50 feet away from the river. I mean, and once I got down there, I saw it. She was right. I was like, there's no way it could flood. All right. So anyways,
no way.
So you know where this story is going. Otherwise I wouldn't be telling it. So I go and, I set my tent up and sure enough, dude, the storm comes in and I'm laying there in my tent. I was so tired, but I was really hungry and I'm thinking like, man, I should make something to eat. There's a storm shelter about 50 yards away from my tent. So I said, okay, I'm going to go make something to eat. So I pull my backpack out and my cooking gear. I started making something to eat. And all of a sudden, this like the biggest like monsoon I'd ever seen. The rain was just coming down, and it was the Ohio River. The bridge broke, snap, and all of a sudden it just comes in. It was breaking trees as it was coming towards me, like gigantic ass trees. And I'm like, oh my God. And it wipes away my tent, right? It's flowing. It's about up to my waist. I'm
trying to remind people, like, think like, oh, brother, we're out there, right?
Yeah, right.
Like that just wall of water.
Just coming in. And so this guy at the top of the RV place sees me and he drives his truck down there. I jump in his truck and so like he narrowly saved me. That was like, you know, both of those things happened within 24 hours. It washed out the road, so I had to get a ride into town. And that stranger bought me all new gear and he wouldn't allow me to pay him back or nothing. And so it was great. But
where'd you go? Random question. Was there like, did this town have like a sports store? Or is it just like literally like a local store that the dude's selling gear in?
No. So what happened was he took me out to Higher Ground. I stayed the night in his cabin, and they came and got me in the morning. You know, they bring me like food and blankets and stuff, and I'm like, oh my, like I almost died. I was like, holy, like what am I gonna do? And so I was my phone wasn't working, and so I was like, I'm gonna have to call off the walk. I thought like, that during this walk that happened about six times where I was like, oh, I almost died. I'm going to call up the walk. Right. So he goes, hey, I'll take you into town. There's a Dick's Sporting Goods store. But it was an hour away. It was an hour drive. Right. You know, so that would have taken me like a week and a half or more probably to walk to. Right. You know,
yeah.
You know, so he drives me in there. And then I get some stuff, and then he drives me as far back as we could for me to be able to start walking again. And then next thing I know, boom, I was out in the middle of nowhere, and you know, camping out in the woods with the coyotes and shit like that again.
Yeah, I mean that's insanity. All right, so again, we're talking to Jeremy Schultz, who walked across the country. How many people, Jeremy, did you tell me have tried this walk, and how many have completed it solo?
I don't know the actual number. You know, I belong to this Walk Across America Facebook group, and I heard this statistic that fewer people have walked unassisted across America than have climbed Everest.
That's wild.
Yeah, you know, so not a lot recently.
All right. I always have questions.
Yeah.
Was there, I know we talked about some of the bigger animals. No. The one that scares me, I just have a phobia, is snakes. Did you deal with a lot of snakes?
You know, oddly enough, I didn't see nearly as many snakes as I thought that I would. You know, there was a walker right around the same time that I was doing, Mike Posner, you know, he's a brilliant, You know the artist, Mike Posner?
Yeah,
brilliant dude. He got bit by a rattlesnake on his walk, you know.
Yeah,
and he got airlifted and stuff like that, you know. And so thankfully, you know, I know the community, you know, we were rallying, and he made it through. So that happened while I was out, while he was like a couple weeks ahead of me. So you know, so I was really cautious about that. And a walker, there was this dude that gave me this advice, because I was, especially once I started getting into rattlesnake territory, like around from Oklahoma west, you're getting into rattler territory, right?
Yeah.
So I asked my buddy who did it a bunch of time, and he told me every night before you go to bed, he said, piss around your tent. He's like, you won't have any snakes or nothing like that. So that's what I did, and it worked.
That's wow. So funny, because Matt has heard this story before, but me and our mutual friend Josh, who I'm sure you've probably met.
Yeah.
We were joking around about, I was staying on this piece of property and I saw that bear. And then I go, I don't know this works at all with bears, but I pissed around my tent in my little like structure.
Yeah.
Every time I had to pee, I never used the outhouse again, and I just kept peeing out there. I was like, and again, I don't know if it worked or not, but it was the only thing in my mind where I could be like, just let them know there is a human out here.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and like I totally agree. I don't know if it actually works. You know, it actually makes sense. You know, it's like you know, they sell fox urine, you know, and you could, you know, a lot of hikers use that, you know, so.
I mean, it's the same way of like, if you're in the woods and you see some scat, you're like, so now we know there's a bear around here.
Yeah, you know, and being, you know, and you got to carry all that stuff. I mean, I got lost in the Shawnee National Forest for 3 days, dude. Like, I was lost, no cell phone, like, everything was, you know, I was screwed, blued, and tattooed, man. I'm glad I made it out. You know,
so what are you just relying on, a compass, or to try to find a river?
I didn't have a compass. No, wow. I just
Jeremy, that shocks me. You go across the country. I mean, it seems like a compass would be like one small thing.
Yeah, well, I had, okay, this is the funny part, and luckily I did that early. I got a compass after that.
Okay, all right.
Like that, but stupidly, the compass was on my phone. Well, that works real well, right? You know, when you're...
Power for 3 days?
Yeah, exactly.
Turn on the phone compass.
Right, yeah, you know, so...
All right. I want to ask you again, we're talking to Jeremy Schultz, who walked across America. So what is the story with the 1,000th mile?
Oh my God. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So, really funny story. So,
if you're just joining us, I told you who he is. Also keep in mind this, you said it was over what? 3,500 miles?
3,100.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So this is the 1,000th mile.
Yeah. So, the 1,000th mile I was in Missouri and I was just over the acclimation point, you know, so like everything was not hurting quite as bad, but still very tender, right? You know, and so I was telling my followers, I was like, man, you know, tomorrow I'm going to be walking into the 1,000th mile, and I was so stoked, and it had just started getting really hot, so I made like this big thing of it, and I told everybody. I said, you know, people were like giving me tips through my PayPal me, and I told everybody. I said, yeah, I'm gonna do a Facebook Live, and then I'm gonna walk into my 1,000th mile, and we'll all have a beer. And everyone's like, yeah, right. So I'm like going, and everybody's just you know, really really stoked. They're like, yeah, you know, here's this for a beer and everything. And all I could think, you know, I was really concerned about staying hydrated, so I hadn't had a beer for like 2 weeks, and
all right.
You know, partly because I was just like so focused, so I was like stoked, man. Like that's all I wanted. I was so excited. Now, keep in mind, I could have walked that 1,000th mile anywhere. That 1,000th mile could have been anywhere in the entire country. So I was walking, and all of a sudden I hit the sign. It's like, yeah, 1,000th mile. And I got into town. I walked into a dry county.
Oh,
I walked into the only dry county in within, you know, hundreds of miles, and I fell down to my knees and I freaking sobbed a little bit. So I celebrated my 1,000th mile with the only thing that they had in town, which was a freaking iced tea at Dairy Queen.
Wow.
A dry county.
Yeah. From a Pacific Northwesterner. Like, can you feel me, bro? Like, can,
oh,
can you feel
100%. I'm just imagining.
Would you have cried?
Yeah, I probably would have. Yeah. I mean, look, if I don't have a beer for 2 weeks, I'm excited just to drink one. Yeah, the output that you were putting in. And, like, and it's like this little reward. We're going to make this 1,000 mile. I'm going to have this beer.
Yeah. Yeah, you know. Oh. Yeah, so that was like, yes, I walked in to a dry county, you know. So, yeah, you know, so that
I bet any other time the tea would have been fine.
Oh, yeah.
Or
yeah.
The lemonade, whatever you got.
Are you kidding?
Once you have your mind set on that beer, like this Sprite, it just isn't cutting.
Yeah, you know. So it's just like, you know, there's as rewarding as this walk was, you know, there's you know, daily letdowns, you know, your freaking shoe blows out, you know, like I could remember walking, you know, like I said, I had my, 52 pound pack and I'm walking and, you know, the heel of my shoe blows out. I had only 10 miles to get into a town. Well,
like hiking boots, Nikes?
No. I went through four pair of Ultras, and then the last pair of shoes were the Keens, which were my favorite. The Keens are the best.
All right,
Keen. And so I had these Ultras, and the heel blew out, and so I got all these rocks in there. You know, I just finished my water, so my throat was all dry, and I'm like, I was like, this couldn't get any worse. I was having a really bad day. Strapping my backpack. Breaks completely off. So it's like now I had to carry, like, and it's all lopsided and stuff. And
yeah, I mean, that sounds miserable just walking back from the grocery store.
I know, yeah.
Much less doing all those miles.
And that was 2 days after, that was 2 days after the prison break story when I set my tent up. You know that one,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, well, give it to him. All right, so now where are we at on the trip?
So I had walked, so after...
And I'll give people a little quicker, like, re-up. So, like, part of the story, right, is I've heard these.
Yeah.
Just the other day, which Jeremy was telling me, is, like, a lot of places, like, there isn't campgrounds or whatever. So you said you
did... Or hotels.
Right, so you did some camping in cornfields or whatever. So this place, so your tent is set up across the street from a prison.
Yeah. You know, well, like you said, you know, there isn't... A lot of these places was, like, out in the woods. You know, I woke up one time with coyotes surrounded me because I was, like, out in the middle of the woods, right? But I had left Oklahoma City, and I was headed westbound, and there's... I saw on Google Maps there was a lake, so I walked right to it, and I was down by the lake. And there was actually a storm coming in, and this state trooper comes in, and he was like, "Hey, you can't camp down here because this lake floods all the time. It's really dangerous." And he's like, "I need you to go up into town." And he's like, "I'll give you a lift." And so he's a really, really nice dude. So he gives me a lift, and he's like, "Here, camp right there." So I got out, and he's telling me, he's like, okay, you know, down this way is a gas station. He goes, now across the street, he said, is one of Oklahoma's biggest prisons. And he said, if by chance there is a breakout, you'll hear an alarm. He goes, if there's a tornado, you'll hear this alarm. And he's like, see you later, walking off. And I was like, wait. I said, are there prison breakouts? And he's like, no, I'm just telling you, like, that would, I'm like, okay, does that happen?
It does seem like a weird warning.
Yeah, well, he told me, you know, like, yeah, exactly, you know, but he's just like, safety, you know, he's like, you know, you are across the street from a prison.
Right.
I was like, when was that, like, is there a breakout? He's like, I've been doing this for years, I don't remember one, and, you know, what are the odds, right? So I set up my tent, and you know the storm is going off, and all of a sudden, dude, the freaking prison break thing goes, and it's like, you I'm like, that's not the prison break. And all of a sudden, yeah. And so sure enough, yeah, the cop comes by. There's a prison break. Stay in your freaking tent. Just stay in there. And they got the sirens going down the road. There's those search dogs and everything. And so I'm staying in my tent. And now all of a sudden, my phone starts going off. There's a flash flood and a tornado coming in. At the same time. So it's like stay in my tent or go to the storm shelter. And I have, it's fun. It's like, it's pitch dark, but I recorded all the sounds and stuff, you know, that
just
night.
Just because it has to be chaos.
Yeah, dude. It was just freaking crazy. But I lived through, I don't know what happened like to the thing, you know, like that went on until the sun came up and, I got zero sleep, obviously. You know, my tent was flooded with water because the rain came in, and I got up in the morning and just soaked to the bone. Everything was just soaked, and I just wringed everything out, put everything in it, and I made myself a cup of coffee, and I got on down the road, and I was like, thank you, Jesus, that, A, I didn't get, you know, sucked away in the storm, and B, that the guy didn't come in. You know, I had my bear mace and my knife with me, man, just thinking like the guy comes in there, I was going to stab him in the neck or something, you know.
Yeah, right.
That's, like, right.
You know, that's like, a bad spot to
right?
be in,
you know.
Wow.
I mean, that also, I would think, as much as that storm's raging, I'd be scared to get out of the tent because you got to hope that the prison guard told everybody who you are.
That's right.
Or not,
yeah.
You're just a random right. dude out by a prison
covered
break.
In tattoos.
That's what, like, I was going to say. Do I look like a prisoner?
Yeah,
bald head, totally sleeved up. I mean, it's like, I ain't going, I'll take my
strength on your knuckles.
Yeah, dude, I'll take my chances with the storm, right? You know, those.
All right, so I know you filmed a bunch of stuff as you were doing this.
Yeah.
Is there a place I can go on the internet right now to read about it or whatever, or should I wait till something comes out? Because I know people want to hear more of this story.
Yeah, well, right now, throughout this whole thing, I documented and wrote stories on my Instagram. So right now they could go there and follow me.
What is it again?
Beats from the Core.
Beats
from the Core. Right.
All right.
You know, so they could do that. I was concerned about how do I continue the giving even after this walk, because that's, you know, that's my purpose in life, is to be able to do stuff to keep giving and stuff. So I decided, while I was out on the road, I made a coffee company and I write the adventures on the back. So like I have this blend called Prison Break Blend, and it's the story that I just told about, and I write on the back of the bag, and then when people buy it, it goes to charity and stuff like that. So
all right.
so that's also they could find that link on my Instagram. So for now, though, I'm building those. I'm currently writing a book.
What's the name of the coffee if people don't have Instagram?
Beans from the Core.
All right. So Beans from the Core on Instagram. Beans from the Core if you're looking for your coffee.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And both of those are website, you know, so you go to the website beatsfromthecore.com or beansfromthecore.com. Both of those, right? It's pretty easy. I'm writing a book. I'm putting my film together. Actively booking, you know, speaking to where I'm telling stories and trying to you know, get kids stoked on doing epic stuff and adults,
awesome.
Adults for that matter too. I feel like, you know,
I think I'm more 46.
I walked off that bridge. I had never even done a overnight backpacking trip before. And yeah, I walked off the bridge. I was 46. Yeah.
All right. So, and we're going to get to Littlewoods Matin in here, but if somebody's toying around with some epic adventure or something like this, what's your advice? Go, don't go, be prepared, at least attempt it.
Yeah, well,
last year I scored a goal in Pub League, which seems really pissant right now.
Right.
But I had never played outdoor soccer, so it was a big deal for me.
Right. Yeah, so this is the thing that I write about all the time, you know, man, is you know, you actually have to go. There's people that I was working with, and I see this all the time. People overplan, like they plan, and it's like, I've had a lot of people reach out to me that wanted to walk across America or whatever, and they're like, oh man, you know, should I walk for 6 months? Should I do this? Like, no, you know, I mean, everybody is different. The way that I work, I just like I told you during the football game the other day, I showed up at the Brooklyn Bridge, and my friend had the bag with him, so I actually packed the bag at the bridge. I had never done this before.
That is wild to me,
right? And then they're like, "Dude, what route are you taking?" And I was like, "Oh, hold on, I put in Niagara Falls walking directions." I was like, "Oh, here we have to go that way." Right.
I talked to Jeremy a few weeks before he was leaving, and I was like, well, like, what's your plan? And something to that effect, and he was just like, faith. Like,
yeah.
Yep. One foot in front of another.
I love it, you know, but I'm also like, that's my friend talking about walking. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know,
it's easy to say things like, hey, when you go on vacation, don't plan too much. Like, experience the new city or country or something you're in, but I mean, You took it to a higher level of
yeah, I did.
Which I love.
And there were many times when I was stuck in the panhandle, you know, and ran out of water and had no food and stuff, you know.
Is this Oklahoma or Texas?
Yeah, in like Oklahoma going into Kansas, and I was out in the middle of nowhere. I had just recently found faith, and so. This was my, and this is just my deal for nobody else, but, you know, this was my walk with God. And so I as weird as it might sound to some people, I literally aligned with that. And it was just, I was guided on this entire thing. It was like, go here and, you know, fell off the 40-foot cliff. And I was completely, wasn't even harmed with that. And, you know, I was just guided and protected on the whole entire thing. So, you know, like when Matt called, what's your deal? I'm like, just faith, bro. I'm just going. There. And it worked out.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
I love the story. We had a great time chatting it up on Sunday.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. So that's why I was like, finally you went to the bathroom. I was like, can we just have him in and tell the story on the podcast?
Yeah. thanks.
All right. Before we get to what's happening, just one last question. Like, what was the... Like, I knew you told me the story about the one small town where you got to eat some food and there was pizza. Like, what was the simple pleasure, like, highlight of the trip? Obviously, it wasn't the beer because you didn't get that beer. Was it like a slice of pizza? Was there something you just remember sitting there and being like, this is awesome?
Yes. You know, when I was in, you know, I mean, there's a whole bunch. So, you know, so... But before I answer that directly, you know, I had so many people do so much incredible, incredibly compassionate and amazing things for me. You know, that's actually what the premise of my book is about, the Good Deeds Diary of America.
Right. All
right. Right. But I remember this one time specifically, man, where I was, you know, I had been eating my freaking sardines out of a can and sardines and tuna for like a week and a half, man. And I was just, bro, I was like, I couldn't even poke it down. Right. And I was on this really windy road and this guy stops and he said, hey, he said, a couple people have gotten killed on this road in the last week from walking. So he goes, let me give you a ride over the pass. And so. Freaked me out. I was like, yeah. And I was in his car and he's like, are you hungry? And I'm like, well, yeah, dude. And he said, I got some ribeyes back here. Dude, he goes, how about you come and you have dinner at my house? And I was like, yeah. And he was really excited because he said, they were in this small podunk town. And he goes, this is going to be wild, man. My wife is, we've never had anybody in our house with tattoos. He goes, as a matter of fact, I don't think we've ever had anybody walk through our town with tattoos and stuff. And so he called his wife and, you know, and I come in there and they were amazing. And dude, they had this ribeye, man, that was, you know, as thick as my arm. And I could remember, you know, borderline tears every time I bit into it. Cause it was just so, it was like, I had like, you know, I don't, I don't think I had, there was zero vegetables. It was like ribeye and then freaking mashed potatoes. And I had two, I probably had like one and a half, maybe two of the ribeyes, gorged myself on the baked potatoes and stuff like that, you know. The guy's, I forget his last name, but the guy is Scott. And if he and his wife are listening, they're wonderful, blessed people. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I had a deal a couple of years ago. I went and did the same thing, saw the bear, right? So I'm isolated, not like you, just 11, was it like 11 days? So I mean, for somebody like me from the city, isolation for 11 days is pretty tough, right? But then for weeks after this, like there's no masturbation, there's no sugar, or no, I shouldn't say, no extra sugar. You could have fruit, but you couldn't have red meat or pork.
Oh, man.
Right? So I spent like 6 weeks, like not drinking, not smoking or whatever. So the day it ends, my buddy who ran this comes in and he goes, hey, I'm gonna take you out for dinner after this. And I remember we walked over to Little Woody's.
Yeah.
And he's like, order whatever you want. So I got like a double cheeseburger with bacon and stuff. And then like 3 hours later, I remember I was like, my stomach is in so much pain. Why did you let me do this? He's like, it's the only way you're gonna learn. But see, I couldn't get it in quick enough.
Right.
So I can only imagine how good that steak must have tasted.
Oh man, yeah, bro. It was
amazing. That's the ideal part of the country where they should have good steaks.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was great. Yeah, you know, it's amazing. You know, it's like you walk through so, I mean, like we said earlier, so much of the country is just desolate. You know, it's like it's cattle, corn, soy, tobacco, like that. I mean, it's just, I mean, for miles, right? For weeks, you could walk for weeks, and that's all it is, just on either side. Mind-blowing. Wow. Mind-blowing.
All right, so you can go beans from the core. If you want to check out Jeremy's coffee, Jeremy Schultz is with us, walked across the country. Also, you can go beets from the core on Instagram. Check out some of his stuff, and then hopefully you'll have some more. I mean, look, you already have interesting stories. Who knows? I can't wait to read the book or see what else you're going to do. Because, I mean, it's going to be something
thanks,
epic.
Man. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, well, Phil, welcome to hang out. Now we're going to check in with Matt, see how his weekend was.
Matt, what's up, bro?
What's good? What's Matt?
Before we get to what Matt needs.
Hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa.
Check out what's Matt.
Hey,
what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa. Before we get to what's Matt needs.
Hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa.
Check out what's Matt needs.
Man, wow. I mean, I don't know how.
Back that up.
I mean, it's like a wind-up doll over there.
Right? Matt, you're on next.
Well, luckily, I've spent a ton of time with Jeremy since he got back into town. I went over there on Thursday and saw him and our other buddy Josh and Heidi. And it was just, that was a fun, great dinner. And then Friday's the only day I haven't seen you since you got back.
Yeah, true.
So Saturday, linked up with Jeremy. After that morning, I went out to Vigor Ground Fitness in Renton, had an awesome workout that Luca led.
Nice.
And then met up with Jeremy, and we drove up to Conway to see Woodshed play a 3.5-hour set. So that means I got 2 hours of quality car time with Jeremy, and sandwiched in between that was 3.5 hours of Woodshed, live from the front row, 4 feet in front of Jake's kit. So Saturday was badass, and then the next day, I went over to your house, Ted, for the Seahawks game and brought Jeremy along, and yeah, I mean, I've spent so much, and then yesterday he joined my gym in Ballard, Fitness 19. We went to fun. I've been hanging out with this guy nonstop. And he just keeps pulling more new stories that I'm like, wait, what the, are you kidding me? So,
right. I think the only thing that's so funny about it is you're just so nonchalant about him.
Yeah.
Like, dude just sat on my couch.
That's why I've been laughing back here this whole time.
Yeah, and it just was like, yes, I walked across the country for 6 months. And I think I was in the kitchen just like, wait a minute, like grabbing a beer, like, hang on. What did you just say?
Back up.
All right, so solid weekend.
Yeah, dude, it's awesome. Jeremy's been a friend of mine for a long time, and I've just been super stoked to have him back in my life in person.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, so that was majority of it, was just hanging out with him.
Yeah, I mean, we even talked on the phone 4 or 5 or 6 times on my walk.
Yeah.
Like, actually, like, while I was, you know, walking down the road, man.
And, yeah, it was,
you
know, wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when you said that idea to me, and I was like, I mean, it sounds crazy, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. Like, people do crazy stuff, and it usually turns out pretty awesome. And I was just like, I remember getting off the phone with you with that and being like, I have a friend that just asked me for my input on walking across the fucking country. Like,
right.
And now I'm hanging out with my friend that walked across the fucking country. Like, it's wild, man. So I love you. Thanks for coming in and
thanks, man,
sharing all this awesome stuff with us.
Yeah, you got any bands to promote? I know you've been bands forever.
Yeah. You know, well, right now, you know, my band, Mother Crone, the legendary Mother Crone, is back together. Yes, we just had our first rehearsal the other day. Man, it was awesome. Newsflash, I know how to play drums still, right? You know,
really?
after all of that. So
somebody's, you know, going to set the tone in that band.
Yeah, you know. So
or keep the rhythm, right?
Yeah, you know. So that's awesome. We are working on a new album right now that will be out probably, we're hoping, by midsummer. We got a couple of shows in other works, but yeah, you know, we've had a 3-year hiatus, but it feels amazing to be back. You know, and my Beats from the Core is actually, I own an online music school, so I own an online drum school, so I have students all over the world, and I do in-person drum lessons here in Seattle, and then I do online drum persons via drum lessons via Skype and stuff like that. Cause I lived in Southeast Asia and all this stuff. So all over the world, you know, so.
All right. So Mother Crone getting back in the action.
Yeah. I'm stoked about that, by the way. I'm pretty sure they're one of the bands when they were around, I was going to see them like they were Woodshed or Devils Hunt Me Down or 10 Miles Wide or any of those other ones. They played my birthday party.
Yeah.
Love Mother Crone.
That was a fun night.
I'm super proud. You know, that album we did, man, is one of the best albums I've got to play on. You know, that was amazing. So I'm stoked. We're 3 best friends. You know, so it's awesome being in a band and playing in a band. But when you get to be in a band with like 3 of your bros.
Yeah,
there's nothing like it.
No,
you know,
no, that's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, so Beats from the Core, and then Beans from the Core. If you want to check out the coffee, So Cobb's not here. I think next week I might have in Alec from 100.7 The Wolf. I asked him to come in August, and then I never had him on. He reminds me all the time, so I think we're gonna have him in, and then you know, Cobb will be back in a month or so, but we'll get through. But again, Jeremy Schultz, Jeremy, thanks so much for coming in, man. It's an amazing story, and I can't wait to see what the finished product is.
Dude, thank you.
You did it.
Yo, thank you so much for having me. I just want to tell anybody who's listening to this, man, you know, don't listen to the noise, man. Believe in yourself, and that's all it takes. Belief coupled with action is usually unstoppable. So
yeah.
So just do it.
Yeah.
You know,
finish the drill.
Yo. Finish the drill. 2020.
All right. There you go. That's episode 285. For MCTP, I'm the Ted Smith. This is the podcast. Cheers.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.